First Corinthians chapter 3. And our text for this morning is verse 16. Verse 16, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" As we continue our study in the person and work of the Holy Spirit, this morning I want us to consider the indwelling Spirit. For every soul that has received Christ as Redeemer and Savior has the Holy Spirit dwelling within. As Paul the Apostle told the believers at Rome, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." The possession of the Holy Spirit is the distinguishing mark of a Christian. For to be without the Spirit of God is proof positive that we are out of Christ. But if we have accepted Christ as Savior, then the Spirit of God dwells within us and assures us that indeed we are the sons of God. For once again, as Paul said in Romans 8, verse 16, "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." Now in these references that we have already given, and in our study thus far of the work of the Holy Spirit of God, we will have noticed the close connection and tie that there is between the Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus. As we quoted those words of Paul there in Romans 8 and verse 9, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ," so there is that close tie and connection between the Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus possesses the Holy Spirit. Revelation 3 and verse 1. The Holy Spirit proceeds from Christ. John 15 and verse 26. And again, Luke 24 and verse 49, where the Lord Jesus told his disciples that he would send the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit would come from him and would rest upon them. So Christ possesses the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit proceeds from Christ. And the Lord Jesus is the one who sent the Holy Spirit to perform the mighty works which he did on the day of Pentecost. Acts chapter 2, verse 33. And this union that exists between the Savior and the Spirit of God can explain then the reason for the third person of the Trinity being called one, the Spirit of Christ. The Holy Ghost is called the Spirit of Christ. Romans 8 verse 9. and he is called the Spirit of the Son. Galatians 4 and verse 6. So we have the Spirit of Christ and the Spirit of the Son. These terms indicating that close tie between the Spirit of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it is Christ then that liveth in us, for the Spirit of God dwells in us, and we have Christ dwelling in us. Galatians 2 and verse 30. So let us now consider this great blessing which the Lord Jesus has given us, which the Lord Jesus left us upon his ascension. He gave us the gift of the Holy Spirit, the promise of the Father. I want us first of all to consider the Holy Spirit and how he settles in every believer's heart. The Holy Spirit settles in every believer's heart. Our text informs us that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. He's addressing believers, of course. In addressing the believers, Paul says, the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. That word dwelleth means to use or to have a house. One who dwells in a house. So the Holy Spirit has taken up residence in the heart of every Christian. The heart, the body of the Christian is the house of the Holy Spirit. Or as we are told here, the temple of God. It is like someone moving into and taking up residence in a new house, and there they settle down in that house for a period of time. The Spirit house, the Spirit's place of residence, is the temple of God, namely each individual Christian. So believer, we are the temple of God, the temple of the Holy Spirit. There you have his place. The apostle here is telling the Corinthian believers what they are. Here he is stating a fact. Notice how Paul puts it in verse 16. He says, know ye not. In fact, if you go through Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, you'll come across that term quite often. Know ye not. Paul is reminding the believers of what they are. They had evidently forgotten what they were. And Paul says, know ye not that ye are the temple of God? This is very evident that Paul was reminding them of what they were in the light of what he said in the first part of the chapter. Chapter 3 and verse 1, Paul says, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as on the spiritual, but as on the carnal, even as on the babes in Christ. And he's saying, do you not know? You're the temple of God. You've not been living holy lives. You have not been living righteously. You've not been pursuing holiness, Paul says. Do you not know? You're the temple of God. Therefore, you ought to have been pursuing holiness of life and conduct and character. Paul goes on to say, I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for neither to ye were ye not able, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. They had not advanced any in the things of God. They were still children. They were still babes. Paul wanted to give them the strong meat of the word, but they couldn't digest the strong meat. They were still babes. They had not advanced any in the things of God. And verse 3, for ye are yet carnal. That had hindered their spiritual progress. Ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? And again, you can apply the words of verse 16, know ye not? You're carnal. There are divisions amongst you. There's envying. There's strife. You're carnal. And yet, do you not know you're the temple of God? Being the temple of God, you ought not to be carnal and fleshly. You ought to be holy, because you're the temple of God. Temple of the Holy Ghost. Their hearts were the temple of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of the Lord was residing in their hearts. Yet they were filled with fleshly, carnal things. It reminds us of that natural temple, the physical temple, that when Hezekiah came to the throne, you remember the first thing that he did was to open the doors of the temple. And then he called upon the priests to go in, and they were to cleanse the temple, and they were to take out all filthiness and all uncleanness out of the temple. And that had to be done before the God of heaven could be worshipped in the temple. So there had to be a cleansing of the temple. And so it is with us. So it was with the believers at Corinth. Their temple ought to have been clean. How could they serve God aright? How could they worship God aright? With an unclean temple, where the Spirit of God was residing. And that was the fact. And then there was the foundation. Every building or house, of course, needs a good foundation. And the foundation of the temple of God is Christ. Verse 11, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. The temple of God, we being the temple of God, the temple of the Holy Spirit, the temple of God is built on Christ. Christ is the foundation. Christ is the rock that shall never move. And there's the foundation. And it is only because the temple is built on Christ that the Holy Spirit takes up residence there. It's only because we're built on Christ, it's only because we're saved and redeemed by the precious blood of Christ that we have the Holy Ghost abiding within us. Spirit of God will not enter the heart of an unregenerate soul. The unsaved cannot claim to have the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost will only enter where Christ is the foundation. Paul said in Ephesians 1 verse 13, after that ye believed, after or when ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. When ye believed, the Spirit of God entered, and we became the temple of God, or the temple of the Holy Spirit. Even as the Lord Jesus said in John 14, and verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. world cannot receive the Holy Spirit, because the worldly person is not built on Christ. He doesn't know Christ the Savior. Even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. It's the foundation for the temple of God. So there we have his place. And then we have his presence. Over and over again, the scriptures teach us that the Holy Spirit indwells every true blood-bought child of God. We're told that truth in our text. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? We have noted that also in that verse we just quoted there in John 14 and verse 17. And then Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 1 verse 14, he said, that good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. And again Paul said in Romans 8 and verse 11, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. So you see, believer, the Holy Ghost dwells within. We have his presence with us every day. He lives within, and so may we ever be conscious. That's what Paul was dealing with here with the Corinthian believers. Know ye not? He was saying to him, you ought to be aware and you ought to be conscious of the fact that the Spirit of God dwells within. You ought to be conscious of his presence, the presence of the Holy Spirit. And this dwelling expresses a permanent abode. The Holy Ghost comes after we have believed, or when we have believed. And the Holy Spirit, he's not a visitor. A visitor comes and stays a while in our home and then goes. The Holy Ghost is not a visitor. The Holy Spirit comes and he imbibes, he inhabits the heart of the child of God. Praise his name, he's here to stay. The Holy Spirit will not come and visit us for a while and then leave us. He takes up permanent residence in our hearts. He lives in the renewed heart, so that by his constant and continual influence, he maintains that life of grace within us. Since the Spirit makes his permanent abode in the heart of the believer, that means we will never perish. That means that we will indeed be in heaven one day. We'll deal with that by and by. That means that we are saved eternally, for the Spirit of God will never leave us. He indwells every Christian. Ephesians 4 verse 30. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. So we have the place where the Holy Spirit resides. We are the temple of God. We have his presence. We may know His presence each and every day. And then we have His possession in this temple. Remember again the meaning of the word dwelleth? Means to have a house or to make use of a house. The house being the temple of God. The temple of God being our hearts. But it should be pointed out that the Holy Spirit is the owner of the house. The Holy Spirit is the owner of the temple. Once the Spirit of God comes in, upon the moment of our salvation, the Holy Spirit takes over the heart of the Christian, and the Holy Spirit owns the heart. The Holy Spirit owns the house. He's the house owner. For what did Paul say in 1 Corinthians 6? Verse 19, what? Here's a little phrase again. Know ye not? Paul's reminding the believers, do you not know? You're the temple of God. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? There it is. Ye are not your own. And again in verse 20, for ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. See, Spirit of God owns the house. Believer, the Spirit of God owns us. That's His position. He is the owner of the house. He is the owner of the temple. What are we called? We're called the temple of God. We're not someone else's temple. We're not our own temple. We're the temple of God. God owns us. For He has bought us. With the precious blood of Christ. And the temple belongs to God. Believer, we don't belong to ourselves anymore. There was a time when we belonged to the God of this world. And then the house belonged to the God of this world. God of this world owned us. But no longer. The God of this world has been put out of His house. The Spirit of God owns the house now. We belong to the Lord. We serve Him. We don't serve ourselves. Paul tells us we are led by the Spirit. We're no longer led about by the devil at his will. We're led now by the Spirit. The temple is owned by the Lord. The temple where He commands and governs after His own will. A temple is a sacred dwelling employed for the honor and the glory of God. It's no place for idols. But it is a place where God is revered and worshipped. And believer, that's what we are to be and that's what we are to do. Our lives ought to be governed by the Spirit of God because He owns us. If we go against this leading of the Spirit of God, we grieve the Holy Spirit. We must be led by the Holy Ghost. And we must be surrendered to His will. He owns us. We belong to Him. Our life is no longer our own. Our life belongs to the Lord. Take my life and let it be. Consecrate it, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days as an end and ceaseless praise. The temple of God, we're owned by the Holy Ghost. Do we serve Him? Are we surrendered to Him as we ought to be, since He has bought us and He owns us and He dwells within us? So we have the Holy Spirit, and how He settles in the believer's heart. This indwelling of the third person of the Trinity would also teach us that the Holy Spirit sanctifies the believer's habits. He settles in the believer's heart, and He sanctifies the believer's habits. Remember, He's called the Holy Spirit. Being the Holy Spirit and residing in the heart of the believer, it naturally follows that He will bring His influence to bear on the life of the believer. He will lead the Christian into a life of holiness. Romans 8. Just turn, please, to Romans 8. We'll be referring to it in a moment or two, but turn to Romans 8, verse 4. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. It's how we are to walk. We walk after the Spirit, not after the flesh. We once walked after the flesh. We once lived for the flesh. We once lived to satisfy the flesh. But now, we're to walk after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, you can say, do mind the things of the Spirit. Believer, do we mind the things of the Spirit? This is the purpose of the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, to lead us into the path of righteousness for His name's sake. To lead us into a holy life. Peter makes it clear what the purpose of the Spirit is. 1 Peter 1, verse 2. We are the elect, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience, and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. We're elect, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience. Unto obedience. We're to obey the Lord because we belong to Him now. He is our Master. He is our owner. He is our Lord. He is our King. He is our Savior. And the work of the Spirit of God will begin, or has begun, in that hour that we receive Christ. He's called here the Spirit of Sanctification. Sanctification, as we know, has two meanings. Sanctification means to make holy. Sanctification also means to be set apart, holy. Again, referring to Hezekiah. And they ordered the police, the priests, that they were to cleanse the temple and sanctify the vessels. The vessels were to be set apart for holy use. They were not to be used for any other purpose. And the Spirit of God is the Spirit of sanctification. And He carries out this work of sanctification in the life of the believer. Whereas the Spirit dwells, He in some degree mortifies and subdues the evil, the evils of the soul in which He dwells. Paul said in Romans 8 verse 13, if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. If ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the flesh, mortify, the word mortify there means to put to death. Indeed, it means to kill. And so here is the Spirit of God working and sanctifying the people, the children of God. We through the Spirit do mortify or put to death the deeds of the body. If the Spirit dwells in this temple, would enter the worship of God. The temple had to be clean. And this temple in which the Spirit of God dwells must be kept clean. And the Spirit of God does that work, mortifying the deeds of the flesh, the old things we used to do, the old things of the world, the old things that satisfied the flesh, the things that the flesh longed after. Now that the Spirit of God dwells within, He mortifies those things, puts them to death, and creates within us a love and a longing for holy things. Mortifies, puts to death the deeds of the body. Let's pray on to that end. Pray that the Spirit of God will indeed continue that work. And cry, Lord, by Thy Spirit, put to death those old besetting sins. Put to death those things that hinder my walk with God. Put them to death. Slay them, that I might live a holy life. For the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, is residing, and we are the temple. We have His purpose, and then that leads to our practices. Living a life of holiness will be evidence that the Holy Spirit dwells within. Chaste conversation, holy conduct, righteous living, all bear witness to the fact that the Spirit of God has made His abode in our hearts. A person who professes to be a Christian but does not live a holy life, does not have a desire for holy things, does not have the Holy Ghost. Does not have the Holy Ghost.
And if he doesn't have the Holy Ghost, then he's not saved. Doesn't know the Lord.
Again, let's go back to Romans chapter 8. These verses we've already read. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. No middle ground. There is no middle territory here. We either mind the things of the flesh or we mind the things of the Spirit. We're either inclined towards the things of the Spirit or inclined towards the things of the flesh. We either live for God or we live for the world. This is God's own word. Not making it up. The word mind, we mind the things of the Spirit. The word mind there means inclination. So with the Holy Spirit dwelling within, we will be inclined towards holy and spiritual things. And are we? We can examine our own hearts in that matter. Are we inclined towards spiritual things? For if we have the Spirit, we will mind the things of the Spirit. We'll be inclined towards the things of the Spirit. Are we? If God, Christ, heaven, engage the thoughts of the believer, if these things engage our thoughts, desires and affections, if these things of the desires and affections of the soul, then we can be sure the Spirit of God is dwelling within. If there is a love for that which is good and pure and holy, and there's a hatred for that which is unclean, fleshly and carnal, then we can be sure the Spirit of God is abiding with us. For then we will mind the things of the Spirit. And as the Apostle said, Galatians 5 verse 16, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Thus does the Holy Spirit sanctify our habits. Finally, the Holy Spirit secures the believer's heaven. With the Spirit dwelling within us and His making us the temple of God, then we are sure of heaven. This we know because we have not only been washed in the blood of the Lamb, but we have the Holy Ghost abiding with us. That guarantees our place. One, because we are God's possession. Once more, 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 and 20. Ye are not your own. Ye are bought with a price. And Paul said in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed
with that Holy Spirit of promise. Mark the words, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. Two words there we want to look at. One, we're told that we are sealed by the Holy Ghost. Again, we're told that by Paul in 2 Corinthians 1, verse 22, who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the spirits of the Spirit in our hearts. Two words, sealed and earnest. These two words emphasize the fact, the guarantee that we will be in heaven. The word sealed there speaks of ownership. God has put His seal upon His people. The King's seal is upon us. The King's mark is upon us. What is the mark? The Holy Ghost. We are sealed with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit is the King's seal, marking out that He owns us. The Lord said, I am the Good Shepherd. And as the Good Shepherd, He said, I know my sheep, and I'm known of them. Just like the farmer, he buys a number of sheep and he puts his own mark upon them, his own distinguishing mark that sets those sheep apart from all others. And they are an indication, a sign that they are owned by the person who bought them. And God has put His seal upon us. And that seal is the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit, who hath also sealed us by the Holy Spirit. Now, if God has sealed us, put His seal upon us, and marked us out as His own, is He going to go to heaven and leave His possession behind? Will Christ be in heaven and leave that which He bought and paid for with His own blood and has marked with His own Spirit? Is He going to leave us behind? I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. The Lord wants us in heaven with Him. And we will be there because we're sealed by the Holy Ghost. Romans 8 and verse 9, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. If any man has not the seal of God, namely the Holy Spirit, then he's none of His. God doesn't own. But all who have the Holy Spirit have God's seal of ownership. And that means the Lord will not be in heaven and leave us behind. He will take all His possessions with Him. Ephesians 4 and 30, and grieve not the Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. So we have God's possession. We are God's possession. And we also have God's pledge. Look again at the words there in Ephesians 1, verses 13 and 14. Ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the
the day of redemption, or the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of His glory. The Holy Spirit is the earnest of our inheritance. The earnest of our inheritance. The seal speaks of His ownership. The earnest speaks of His pledge. For the word earnest there means a down payment or a pledge that an agreement will be kept. God has given us His Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is the down payment, the pledge that an agreement will be kept. And God has made an agreement with us that we will be in heaven with Him, and the Holy Spirit is the pledge, the guarantee that that agreement will be kept. He's the down payment. He's the deposit, if you like. Can we be certain that we shall enter that life and that home in glory? Yes, we can. The earnest, the deposit, the down payment seals the bargain. And the deposit will not be returned until the remainder of our redemption, which is the redemption of our body, is fully realized. Romans 8, verse 23. The indwelling Spirit is our guarantee of a finished transaction and a safe delivery of our soul into the land of promise, under the kingdom of heaven. Praise the Lord. We ought to rejoice today that we have the Holy Spirit abiding with us. That everyone here today has the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit abiding with him. Paul says, the Lord says, if not, then we're none of him. We'll not be in him. Will not walk the streets of gold. Will not be in glory. Make sure today Christ is the foundation upon which you build. Make sure today that the Holy Spirit is dwelling in your heart. He has made your heart His temple. And make sure you have the Holy Spirit as your guarantee. Okay. Let's bow our heads and pray. Our dear Lord and Eternal Father, we rejoice in the great work and person of the Holy Ghost. And O Lord, we ask indeed that we pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit will continue that great work of sanctification, sanctifying us by the mortifying of our evil deeds, the deeds of the body, putting them to death, dying unto sin and living more and more unto righteousness. Lord, may we even indeed this very day make our calling and election sure. Examine our hearts. Make sure the Spirit of God is residing within. O Lord, do a work today in our hearts. Come, Lord, by Thy Holy Spirit. Do a stirring work in our hearts. And O Lord, write the word in our hearts today. For we're sanctified by Thy word. Thy word is truth. Be with us, Lord, as we make our way home. Be with us, Lord, each mile of the journey. Whether we have many or few miles to travel. And Lord, return us tonight. Bring us back to the Lord's house tonight to worship. Engage our hearts again in the worship of our God. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ,
love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forevermore. Amen.